Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Friday. We made it, people. We're here, ready for the weekend. Hope you're all set to have a great time wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Hope you're carrying the G throughout the weekend and, you know, throughout the offseason. Not a ton of headlines, as is going to be the case most often until we get at least to the OTAs in a couple weeks. But we did get some quotes from the assistant coaches earlier this week. We heard from the offensive staff a couple days ago, heard from the defensive staff yesterday. Of course, I do a little nit to pick here with the Packers digital team. I find it fascinating that they know there's an audience. They know people want to see this stuff. They could easily just flip on the live stream and have those videos available of those availabilities of running back coaches and wide receiver coaches and defensive back coaches, etc. Man, there are enough hardcore diehard Packers fans that would tune in on your YouTube channel, Green Bay Packers, but they only do the coordinators. We got them early in the week. Obviously, I believe it was on Tuesday afternoon. We got to hear from Bisaccia and Halfley and Stenovich. And then for the rest of the week, it's just the media in the auditorium giving us quotes off Twitter and stories in their platforms, which is fine, all well and good, but there are plenty of people who would tune into that, including yours truly, that would love to hear what these guys have to say. It's just a nit I like to pick every year with the Packers, and maybe at some point they'll switch this policy around. But until then, we're at the mercy of the guys and gals in the media auditorium who we heard from Derek Ansley, the passing game coordinator in the Packers defense, who had some very nice things to say about former seventh round pick Kalen King, a Packers cornerback who, I know last year when he was selected, there were a lot of kind of, I'd say fanfare around his selection because he had been considered a potential first round pick the year prior, clearly fell all the way to the seventh round in 2024, that draft, the Packers selected him and then spent much of last year in street clothes, was not even active for much of the 2024 season. Heading into 2025, with the uncertainty hanging around Jaire Alexander, coupled with the fact that the Packers didn't select a cornerback at any of the premium positions selections in the draft until once again in the seventh round, and then, you know, an undrafted free agent or two to contend with. But there is a prime opportunity here for Kalen King to take a step forward, having spent a year in the system and already getting some praise from one of the position and defensive coaches. Excited to see what happens when the pads come on at Radnički Field this summer and see if he's able to take that proverbial step from year one to year two, because most guys in their growth and development as an NFL player, the biggest jump occurs between their rookie season and their second year. And Kalen certainly flashed last summer. I'll never forget, there was a very specific interception he had of Jordan Love while playing with the ones in the slot where, you know, you saw that potential. You saw that playmaking ability. I don't doubt for a moment that, you know, the coaches are seeing stuff in practice that has led to his more often than not being in street clothes, being inactive on game days. I have to think a big component of that is special teams. And probably there are guys that are handling that aspect of the game much better, are able to contribute more. And that is what has led to Kalen being inactive a lot of these weeks. But that said, that doesn't mean he hasn't spent, say, the last kind of season plus working on that. Maybe he's grinding off special team stuff a little bit more this offseason, hopefully turning some heads once they are able to get on the field. And that is something to remember. I've seen a lot of people talking about, you know, just not even considering Kalen King, but just the Packers in general, about the work they're doing and, you know, practice. And there is no practice going on right now. This is all, mostly classwork. Now, there are a few kind of individual drill type things that they're allowed to do, but there aren't any team stuff. There's no team stuff going on yet. There won't be until they get to OTAs, I believe, on May 27th or 28th, whenever that date is. But it is an opportunity this offseason for Kalen King to show what he's learned and those banked reps to pay off for him, hopefully. Because I do think you look at his college tape and you see what he did last summer, you can certainly see a player there and a guy who could potentially help the Packers. Heard a lot of stuff this offseason about the cornerback position, about how thin they are, etc. Well, a developed Kalen King or a developing Kalen King could really potentially help them in that regard, especially along the perimeter. Though last year they did run him both inside and outside. We've heard so much about versatility, and they want guys who are able to do a lot of different things. And we certainly saw him run that route last summer. But I do think there's a very good chance that he is going to get probably a lot more opportunities on the perimeter this summer in training camp. And hopefully he rises to the occasion, because a development there obviously would help them regardless of whether or not Jaire Alexander is in the house or not. But for all the talk about how thin they are at corner, how they didn't draft anybody, what are they going to do at corner? A, I think they like who they've got, and I'm kind of with them on that. But B, if they have a young ascending player who is able to take that step, so to speak, yeah, it's an exciting time, and it's a big, big opportunity for Kalen King. What's going on, everybody? Good to see everybody in the comments section already mixing it up. Carlo, good morning. How are afternoon, I should say. How you doing? Mr. Tundra, Benrock, how are you guys doing? Before I get to your comments and questions, got to give a shout out to our good friends over at Ticket King. That's right. Based in Wisconsin since 1992, Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida Street. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. Hell, they even have a drive-through window. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage, or indeed on any schedule page on our app. We've got links to each individual game. Get after it. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national chains. Use a company based in Wisconsin since 1992, Ticket King, for all your Packers ticket needs. Do it, folks. What's going on, everybody? King Favre starting us off with a Wayback Machine question here. Met John Michaels on the Packers tailgate tour. Very engaging guy. Could talk to him all day. Now a doctor. Did he have potential before his injuries? Big time potential. No question about it. And I'm really glad that he's able to kind of join the Packers on these things, types of things like the tailgate tour. And I'm glad you got to talk to him. I've only ever met him in passing, very, very briefly, but he did seem like a good guy. And to your question about his career, yeah, the potential was certainly there. People might forget he backed up Tony Boselli at USC before Boselli went pro. And then he, you know, basically stepped in to take Boselli's place at USC after having been a defensive end. Like, he switched positions in college. And he played extremely well, obviously well enough to become a first round pick. And I think most Packers fans of that time will tell you, you know, or know the story that, you know, Ron Wolf and the Packers were ready to select Ray Lewis until the brand new franchise, the Baltimore Ravens, took Ray Lewis right before the Packers were about to pick. And literally the next selection was the Packers taking John Michaels. It's hard. I really have trouble with people who call John Michaels a bust, which is stuff I've seen strewn across the internet, which is typical for the internet. But I thought, yeah, he had tons of potential, and you certainly saw it flash, but he was hurt right from the jump. I think he got hurt like in the second or third preseason game of his rookie year. And you just never saw him kind of get right, so to speak. He was in and out of the lineup his entire rookie season. To the end, at the end there, you know, I know Holmgren just didn't feel comfortable, didn't think he was 100% back, thought he was way too inconsistent, which is not surprising for a rookie who was playing through a number of different injuries. So, you know, they eventually settled on someone else to play left tackle for their kind of run to the Super Bowl, which made sense, was 100% the correct call. But, you know, he came back that next year and his knee just was never right. And I think if I remember right, he got hurt in a practice where he really messed up his knee. And it was a practice where Holmgren had kind of gotten after the whole team because they had been, you know, I don't know, they'd gotten beat or something like that. And they were practicing like in the rain on, you know, outdoors in the rain on a grass field. And he slipped or something and he twisted his knee somehow and really messed it up. And it was over after that. He could never really get back on the field with any consistency. And it sucks, man, because I think, yeah, at the base of his game, yeah, he had a ton of talent and he could have been a very good player for the Packers, but he just was snake bit with injuries from the jump, which really sucks. But He seems to be, like you said, he's a doctor now. He said he's still involved with the Packers, seems to be in a good place. So that is good to hear. And he's got a Super Bowl ring. So good for him. Lieutenant Dan, how are you, brother? Good. Thanks for being care of the G Club member. Matt LaFleur said with Chris Sims that he plans on putting extra emphasis on Washington week two due to the short week. Can we just beat Detroit at home first? I think you got to give some accident forgiveness here. I mean, I listened to what he said to Chris, and I think, you know, traditionally this is Mr. Got to go 1-0 every week, right? I don't doubt for a moment that there will be tons of focus on Detroit, but I also think in the past, this is an area where he probably wouldn't have even looked at Washington other than the fact that it's a short week and had maybe done a little bit of pre-scouting this summer, knowing that was going to be kind of a turnaround quickly there. But I don't think there's any problem with the idea of, we know we have these two games in really short succession, right? Like, you get that Sunday and you got a four day turnaround right out of the gate. I got no issue getting ready for both teams, which is essentially what I think they'll be doing. Now, yeah, that doesn't discount the game against Detroit and the preparation for it and how important it is to get, you know, out of the gate on the right foot against a divisional opponent. Not discounting that, but it's a pretty unique situation. And again, Matt himself has been so strident in the 1 week at a time thing. I give him some leeway if he thinks this is the best way to approach it, especially since it is, like I said, a very unique situation. Jeff Smith, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Random Packer, Ken Rutgers. See, I do listen. As for today's topic, we are time to get my 34 jersey. There you go. There you go. And yeah, Ken Rutgers, mentioned him the other day as, you know, part of that left tackle lineage for the Packers. He's actually the left tackle that John Michaels was replacing, because Rutgers himself was injured. So, yeah, I don't know if John Michaels becomes that good, like Rutgers good or even Clifton good or something like that, but he could have been good. No doubt. No question. Ed, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Bears fan locked himself out of his car, became really upset when it started to rain because he left the top down. He's here all week. Tip your waitress. Try the veal. Dustin, thanks for the super chat, man. If healthy, this defense could be great. I think you mean if. And that's a big if. Healthy, this defense could be great. Dustin, you know, I hear you, and I'm with you. I'm happy for you. But, you know, it's the Green Bay Packers, and it's the defensive side of the ball. I come in with very minimal expectation. I know people love it this time of year to talk about a potential top five defense. Remember a couple years ago when people were talking about a potential top five defense coordinated by Joe Barry? There are receipts. There are plenty of people out there that were talking about it right here on Al Gore's internet. So would they be great? Sure, yeah. But let's, like, get off the field on third down. Let's intercept Jared Goff. Let's get Goff on his back. Like, let's do the things we need them to do, have that materialize before our eyes, and get excited about it. But I'm going to be very happy when it occurs, if it occurs. And then we move on to the next game. I just, you know, great, top five, all these things. It's May. I understand. We're all dreaming of football again, and I'm there. I get you. But for me, at least on the defensive side of the ball, in Green Bay, Wisconsin, I am about baby steps. Like, get off the field on third down. Then I'll be happy. That'll be the beginning of my happiness. Joe, thanks for the super chat, man. Any Packers with offseason surgeries that will cause them to not be ready for training camp? I mean, Christian Watson is the obvious one there. But outside of that, I don't believe so. Although, who knows? You know, after last year where we all assumed that Kingsley and Igbari was going to be missing the first part of the year because of an ACL that apparently never happened. I don't take any of this for granted at this point, but yeah, off the top of my head, Watson is the main one, the headliner, right? Now, every once in a while, and it's rare, but it does sometimes occur where we get into the start of training camp and suddenly there are a guy or two placed on the PUP that you're not expecting. Maybe something happened in off-season workouts. Maybe there is some kind of flare up of an old injury, what have you. And some that does occasionally, like very rarely that happens, but as of sitting here right now, I can't, nothing off the top of my head kind of that I remember where there's guys that are kind of, you know, worried about maybe not being able to go. I know Matt had mentioned Jaden Reed and the shoulder, and it sounded like from what he said at the owners meetings that he should be good to go for the start of camp, though he will be limited in some of this offseason work. But again, he didn't, I don't think he had surgery. And I think he'll be good by the time camp begins. Outside of that, I can't remember any others. Ruben, thanks for the super chat. Shawn Michaels was Mr. WrestleMania. I see no bust. John Michaels? I love it. Mr. WrestleMania. Klaus, thanks for the super chat. Appreciate you, man. Thank you for your hard work. Can't wait for kickoff. Klaus, really appreciate it. You're here all the time, man, and you're all the way on the other side of the world. It's kind of amazing to me. I appreciate you, and I appreciate you being a Packers Daily regular. Thanks, brother. Jason, thank you for the super chat. In your opinion, which number 68 offensive lineman had a better Packer career, Gale Gillingham, Greg Koch, or Mike Wall? Well, you know, Greg played when I was little, and Mike Wall is probably one of the best offensive linemen I ever saw with my own two eyes. But I know from the folks that were there at the time, and including his coaches and teammates, Gale Gillingham is one of the best to ever do it. So I would probably give that nod to Gillingham, but having not really watched a ton of his film. I've seen some, obviously, but from everything I've read and kind of dove into, it would probably be Gillingham, would be my guess. But like I said, Mike Wall is one of the best linemen I ever saw play with my own two eyes. That year in 2003, when Amon Green went ham and Brett Favre had a busted thumb and the whole world knew they were going to run the ball, that's hard to do. You know, the whole stadium knows you're running the ball and you're still able to run the ball. That was because of guys like Mike Wall and Marco Rivera and that whole line up front. And it's crazy because people forget Mike Wall came in and started at tackle. And I'm not going to say it was a disaster, but it was not a good start for him out there on the outside. But man, once they moved him inside, he really found his kind of groove, and he really became, like I said, one of the best that we've seen at that guard spot in Green Bay. No doubt about it. Strelev, this is very kind of you. You made the statement. Jay Alex was not mad at his agent. I think you mean Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed was not mad at his agent. Now I see tons of YouTube, everyone saying he is not upset. LOL, you're such a trendsetter. I don't know about a trendsetter. I just know what I know, and it made the most sense. Like I said at the time when I said in the video, it's just the timeline of it. It's so clear that he's got a new agent, and that new agent is trying to make some waves and show him that, oh, I can get that message out there that you're the number one wideout. But I think a lot of people in the media kind of misread that tweet and that message. But, you know, that's the age we live in now when everyone's pouncing on every piece of content to try and give their reaction, right? And I just think it's unfortunate, but it's kind of the echo chamber we live in right now. Ooh, good question, Maine. Will the Canadian QB supplant Clifford as QB3? I talked about this a little bit on the chat the other day. I think he's got a shot. I think he's got the tools. You never really know what it's going to look like once you get on the grass with all the other guys against NFL competition. I will say his stint in the Senior Bowl, yeah, should tell you that, yeah, he's got a chance. There's no doubt about it. Now, Clifford's got the advantage that he's been in the offense, right, for a number of years now. But he's got a better arm. I can tell you that point blank. And that doesn't automatically mean you're going to be a better quarterback. But if he can, you know, get into the playbook and get on the same page with some of the guys he's going to be playing with, he's got a shot. I think a big, huge part of this, obviously, is going to be his play in preseason. If he gets to preseason, there's no guarantee. But if it comes down to how they play in the preseason games, I think there's a very good chance that he does that, supplants him. Brandy, thanks for the super chat. Prime Josh Jacobs or Amon Green? Prime Mike Holmgren or Matt LaFleur? Oh, love my boy Matt, but it's Mike Holmgren, like by a significant margin. Josh Jacobs or Amon Green is a little tougher. I'd probably give the nod to Amon Green, even with the fumbling issues early in his career. Josh is great. I think Amon was a little bit better in the passing game, certainly better in pass protection. And obviously they're, I'm not going to say equal in runners as runners, because I think they're different styles, but both amazing running backs, clearly. But yeah, I would give the nod to the Green Bay Packers all-time rushing leader. This is not a question, but I like the comment, Daryl. Mark Tauscher was a good homegrown offensive lineman who won a Super Bowl. This is correct. Another seventh rounder, by the way. Packers love that seventh round, man. Chris, thanks to the Super Chat. D rankings mean jack, honestly. In 2011, the Giants had the 29th ranked D, shut out Atlanta, held Green Bay, San Francisco to 20, New England to 17. Just show up when it matters most. Could not have said it better myself, man. Now, obviously, I think rankings are fine as far as being a guidepost, right, and telling you what type of year a team is having or a unit is having. But yeah, ultimately on Sunday when they kick off and they're running around on the field, it doesn't matter at all. What matters is the results of that particular game. I know I've talked about this before, but like that year where Indianapolis came in with one of the worst ranked defenses against the run in the playoffs, they had like three games in a row where they absolutely stifled their opponents on the ground. Like, all that matters is what you do that Sunday. No question about it. Dustin, I like how you're dreaming, man. Can't wait for the Packers to play in LA February 7th. I'm excited for the Super Bowl because then a couple weeks later, I'm going to Disney with my girls for the first time, like all of us. And I'm very excited about that. So, yes, the Packers in the Super Bowl is going to be great. Cannot wait. Oh, Taylor tells me Purdy just got paid. Obviously, I am not on Twitter at the moment, though I can probably take a look, see if it comes up right. Yep, there it is. 49ers and Brock Purdy agree to terms on a five-year, $265 million contract extension, including $181 million in total guarantees. Of course, none of those numbers mean anything. It'll be interesting to see the actual contract and what the breakdown of the guarantees are for real, and most importantly, what the cap hit is. But hey, Purdy got paid. That's funny that they do it on a Friday. Talk about a Friday news dump. Hi, Powered. How are you, man? Who gets the first INT? Ooh. I'm going to go with Quay Walker. I know everyone's thinking a corner or a safety. Quay Walker, they're going to be playing like cover two against a disguised cover two against Jared Goff. And Goff is going to try and throw over the middle. And big play, Quay is going to get him. That's where I'm living right now. That is how I am living. This is amazing, Devin. What a question. Who performed better coming out of retirement for 2025, T.O. or A.P.? I got to give it to A.P., one of the most violent runners I've ever seen in my life. And I got to imagine he's probably still right there. I'd be surprised if either one were able to hold up for more than a few plays in a modern game. But yeah, give me A.P. out of those two. Matt Master C, how are you, man? Packers fan from New Orleans here. Go Pack Go. I was able to watch them beat the Saints on December 23rd, 2024, live in Green Bay. It was too cold. Oh, that's phenomenal. Yeah, that was a cold one, but I'm glad you got to be there at least. That's great. You got to go to Lambeau. A lot of people jealous of that, but I do love New Orleans. Been there a couple times now in the last year, and I really love that town, man. That is a phenomenal spot. It was just down there for the Super Bowl, obviously, and then I was back down there a couple weeks later. I absolutely love that town. I'm jealous of you. Do I think Aaron Mosby will get time on this D-line with the rookies coming in? Isaiah, I think he'll have an opportunity early. He's got to make the most of it. But, you know, it doesn't really matter if there's a guy out there who was drafted this year or if he's out there with the twos and threes and making plays, and maybe he gets some opportunities with the ones. It's going to really be up to how much he's able to take advantage of the limited snaps he's probably going to see with the ones. But I mean, he had a really good summer last year, both in camp and specifically in preseason. I know we didn't see a ton of him during the regular season in 2024, but for a team that is absolutely desperate to get after it with four guys, if you can do it consistently all throughout the summer, both in practice and in preseason, I think you're going to get more opportunities because they need those guys. And the other component here is you got to remember there's a new defensive line coach who could potentially view things very differently as far as what the rotation is going to look like and who gets what kind of playing time. So it's a bit of a clean slate in that regard. So again, if he can make, you know, the most of whatever limited opportunities he gets on the field, both, you know, kind of this offseason, more importantly, once the pads come on in training camp, That's going to be determining how much he gets on the field early and often, no doubt. All right, everybody, I'm going to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor and hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great weekend. Go Pack, go.